Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Welcome to Saturday Magazine, a huge show today, and this ain't the Scenic Railway. Saturday Magazine starts now.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Live across Melbourne on Joy 94.9, streaming online everywhere, and of course on podcast. This is Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9's longest running at flagship news, current affair and lifestyle program. It is an ever-changing mix of local and national news, current affairs, all framed within a queer perspective. Good morning, I'm Macca, 15th of September. On behalf of Saturday Magazine, I acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet and pay my respects to elders past, present and future. I'd also like to pay my respects and honour the elders from our diverse LGBTIQ communities. And welcome Joy CEO Tennille, who is co-host with me today. Good morning, Tennille.
Good morning, Macca. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to get an invitation back.
Well, you know, it's always good fun and you do good radio, darling.
Oh, thank you. Although you just saw me, I'm sitting here and I didn't have a microphone. So, it's been a while. So but I might need one.
Normally at this time, Tass does a rant, you see. And
did you need me to do a rant?
Oh, no. Look, I just wanted to congratulate the people who took Alan Jones to court.
Absolutely.
And called him out. And for the justice system. The parrot has been put back in his cage.
He's been a bit of a loud one, hasn't he? He's walked that line a lot, and I think our community in particular have had a lot to complain about with some of the rhetoric and stuff that's come out of his mouth. So to see him actually held accountable for some really, really inappropriate
appalling.
To what end? Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just, it's where that personal opinion just crosses over into actual.
$3.7
million. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of parrot food.
Yeah.
It's a lot of parrot food.
So, unfortunately, the stations that he works with are actually, you know, going to have to assist with that, aren't they?
Well, I don't know how much of it he's on the hook for, but I don't know. Perhaps he might have to sell his, you know, his apartment in the top.
I thought you were going to say his kidney for a second.
Yeah, but why would you want
it? Maybe his apartment. Might get a bit more money.
In the toaster. Anyway, Ellen, I know you do follow us on Saturday Magazine on Twitter. Mm. So, there you go.
He mightn't follow anymore now.
No, well, that's all right. It's one less follower.
The sound effects are going off this morning.
Now, we've got the AGM coming up on the 7th of October.
Yep.
If you want to exercise a vote and you can't be there, you need to appoint someone who is at the meeting, a proxy. And you can also, as long as you lodge that proxy, and you can also nominate the chair of the meeting to have your proxy. And you need to do that by 2 p.m. on the 6th.
That's correct. So 24 hours before the meeting.
Yeah, 24 hours before. 11 candidates for 4 positions.
How am I? I'm actually over the moon about that.
It's a bit like a back room, isn't it?
Well, it is. But, you know, that's the most number of nominees we've ever had going into an AGM. It's amazing.
It is. Yeah.
And I think that it really, really speaks to the fact that, you know, Joy, 25 years strong, moving into the next 25 years, it really speaks to the fact that people are interested in being part of the governance and the strategic direction of this organisation, and that's a great thing.
Because it's a board of governance. It's not a board of management. And there is a difference, and this is one of the things that, you know, I'm keen to ask all the candidates about when we interview them on the 29th. They'll all be asked the same questions. They'll all be given, say, 2 to 3 minutes. Just depends how we go for their actual spiel as to why they should be elected. But I'm keen to explore with the candidates, do they understand the difference between a board of governance and a board of management? Are they able to make a commitment for the period in which they're elected? And it depends on... are they all three-year terms or they're...
Yeah, they are.
Okay,
yeah.
So if you're elected on the 7th, it'll be for 3 years.
Yep.
Are you able to make a commitment for 3 years? Not for 3 months, not for 6 months, not for, you know, when it suits you, for 3 years.
And understanding what that actually entails, because it's not just one meeting a month either.
No.
So governance and strategy actually do require... other stuff.
Yes.
So there are other meetings and workshops and all sorts of things. And the other really, really key thing that the Joy Board has really evolved into, particularly, and I've really noticed in my time there, is the willingness and the ownership that the board's taking around building relationships, so really strategic relationships. Money's always an issue for us. So we're really moving almost beyond that corporate money that we, you know, that elusive corporate money that everyone wants to give to the youths. But really starting to look at some of the key things that are coming up for Joy. So we need to move at some point in our future to do that and to do that without spending lots and lots of money.
Yes.
We need to build really, really strategic relationships with local government, with state government, with federal government. So that governance role with this board is incredibly important. And we need people who are able to do that. So I look at the boards that I've worked with. So this is, I guess, the third iteration of a board that I've worked with. And the skill that we're actually seeing from people who are part of our community and are bringing skills, like really, really, you know, developed skills into Joy. And the impact that's having is really interesting. So I'm excited to see what the evolution of Joy looks like. And the next board's going to be critical to that. So the AGM is going to be a fantastic day, but bring a snack. It's going to go for ages.
Yes. So, you know, 11 candidates who will also get to speak before the election at the AGM.
And then the voting and the counting.
And then, you know, what then happens, you know, also on the 29th, as I said, we're going to be, and we're broadcasting Saturday Magazine from 9 a.m. till midday.
You needed the extra hour.
We needed the extra hour to fit them all in. It is not our intention to do phone interviews.
No, I think it's important that people come in,
You know, come in because that gives it, you know, gives it a vibrancy, a reality. You know, and it shows, I think, you know, a commitment. Now, if you can, you know, if a candidate can't come in, they can't come in. You know, if that's impossible, we'll look at that. We're not going to adjudicate on whether their reason is good or not. We believe it's important for you to come in. And the reason I say that is that in the past, in a lot of cases, when candidates have stood at the AGM and they haven't been at the AGM, they haven't been elected.
Yep. 100%. We've seen that a couple of times. Well, I've seen that a couple of times myself.
So that's why it's important. We'll be doing quite a lot on the day. You know, we'll be doing some video, we'll be doing some Facebook Live, lots of images, lots of posts about the candidates, because this is important. This is about the future of our station.
And we want to make sure that that as many members as possible get to actually hear that and to make an informed decision.
We should put it on Neon Night so more people download
it. Won't. Maybe we'll be a bit cheeky and just upload it to Neon Night. I didn't suggest it.
We'll put it on Neon Night.
Maybe we'll just get him to tweet about it.
Yeah,
That might work just as well.
I like competition.
I know you do.
Yeah, I love competition.
You like it when you win too, don't you?
Well, you know, what's it, not much point in coming not number one, is there?
No one remembers too.
You know, who lost the 1979 grand final?
If you're talking AFL,
I don't even know.
I can't tell you anything.
I don't even know. Gee, who won the grand final last year?
That Richmond,
Richmond.
I remember that guy who can't speak wasn't allowed to speak.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes. And you understand, I think he said thank you, and I was like, well, that was a bit too much, wasn't it?
So we've got a message from a listener. He says, good morning, SatMag team. Isn't free dumb of speech, and he spelt it F-R-E-E-D-U-M-B, free dumb of speech, wonderful macker. Yes, it is. Will Alan Jones retire now? Who cares? I don't listen to him. Barnaby Joyce was absent from the midwinter ball. Oh, no, he was actually at the beetroot factory. Making some more beetroot.
Right. It is actually an interesting question, though. Like, would something like that actually force someone like Alan Jones to say, oh, it might be time to hang up the headphones?
He may not get the choice. The radio station might decide that, yes, despite his significant ratings and revenue, reality is the audience is a fairly narrow audience.
It is,
they
yeah.
They need to expand it. Mm. Who knows?
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. Maybe we should try and speak to him. Maybe.
Maybe you should.
Maybe we should try and see if he'd like to do a masterclass in, media etiquette.
You know what? I wouldn't waste my breath on him.
Okay.
If he was on fire, I would let him burn.
Okay.
Is that polite enough?
Well, okay.
Yes. So we're just we're hoping to speak to Wayne Gatt from the Police Association. Don't know why he hasn't rung us, but let's talk about Head to Head, Tennille.
Yeah.
Which is an initiative of the Police Association and Victoria Police, the Chief Commissioner Graham Ashton, and Wayne Gatt, who's the Secretary of the Police Association. It's a walk over, I think, 23 days, 1,000 kilometres.
Yeah.
And it's to raise funds for the ongoing support of retired police officers. You've got some interesting facts on PTSD and mental health within Victoria Police.
Yeah, so because Joy's actually preparing a mentally healthy action plan ourselves, yeah. So one of the first ones I looked at was the police's. And it is actually really interesting. So on average, employees who have a psychological injury claim are actually away from the workplace for an average of 103 shifts.
Wow.
So if you think about that, 5 shifts a week, that's 20 weeks
yeah.
that they're actually away.
So 6 months.
Yeah. And just in terms of, I guess, the cost. So mental health-related injuries make up 28% of their work cover claims, but it's 64% of the work cover cost.
Of the cost.
So there's a significant issue for the Vic Police to solve just from a financial perspective. But I think more than anything, the Mentally Healthy Action Plan actually goes through to talk about why it's important for our police to actually have really, really good mental health support. And particularly when you think about the role that they actually play in our society and the things that they see. So we probably as citizens need to be a little bit more aware and a little bit more conscious of the impact that that has, and that so many of these people will end up retiring and are impacted potentially for the rest of their life based on the stuff that they've actually done in service. So,
and, you know, this is, these issues are not just related to Victoria Police. They're related to paramedics.
Yep.
Fireys. Health workers in a lot of areas of healthcare.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a big issue and it's a big cost. It amazes me that with such a significant problem that why, you know, there's a lot of talk about mental health.
Yep.
But F all seems to get done.
Well, and that was one of the questions I was really hoping to ask Wayne is, looking at their mental health action plan, there's a lot of stuff in here around education and that sort of thing, but it'd be interesting to understand what that actually looks like in terms of tactics and that sort of thing. So the walk itself is there to raise money for people once they've retired from the police force, because it's important to note that, you know, the statistics I was talking about before, when someone's employed,
are serving members, yeah.
But once they're not employed anymore, they've retired or they've had to leave their position, there's no support financially. So Head to Head's really about trying to raise money to help in that space. So there's probably, you know, a question out there around, you know, whose responsibility it is. But I think from my perspective, it's about remembering that these people serve and protect us. And we can argue till the cows come home about what, you know, whether we value that. But at the end of the day, they're there to help us, and they are forced to witness some pretty horrific things.
And I think back to a discussion we had with Ron Iddles,
mm-hmm.
when Ron was Secretary of the Police Association, but he was a long-serving head of the Homicide Squad.
Yeah.
And you know how he used to sort of chill out or try and disconnect from the job? He would drive on his days off interstate coaches.
Oh, wow, okay.
So he would drive a bus, you know, to Adelaide or
yep.
whatever, you know, just to... Which I thought, well, then it's full of people. What about if they want to talk to you?
Yeah.
But, you know, the impact that it has on those officers, and think about some of the... Not just the horrendous capital crimes,
mm.
but some of the, you know... Well, not some. Domestic violence.
Yep.
You know, sexual abuse of children. Car accidents, industrial accidents, and this is, you know, a lot of this is the same for paramedics as well, that, you know, that they're often the first on the scene.
Absolutely.
And they've got to, you know, try and resolve an issue or hose an issue down, and, you know, they're dealing with broken minds, broken bodies,
yep.
you know, extreme violence. It's pretty hard to take on an ongoing basis.
Oh, look, I can't imagine, and I know that I do a little bit of work with the police in what we do here at Joy,
yeah.
and speaking with them, and even, you know, your regular street cops or, you know, the GLOWs and that sort of
yeah.
thing, they're still witnessing things that, you know, we as general citizens, we walk by, you know, homeless people every single day.
Yeah.
We walk by people that we just sort of look at and say, oh, look, you know, they're on drugs or whatever. Our police are the people that have to deal with that. Now, sometimes that can be just harrowing, like listening
yes.
to the stories and trying to work out how they can help. Sometimes it's putting themselves in danger to try and protect other people. So it makes absolute sense to me that there is a mental health issue with the Victorian Police and all of our emergency services. And I think that we would do well to remember that, you know, it can be a fairly thankless job, and that there is now a gap for those retired police. And this walk is a great way for people to donate, like the old walkathons from when I was at school, you know. And seeing the police commissioner, head of the police, walk to Wangaratta, because that's where they're meeting.
I know.
They start from opposite ends of the state and they meet in Wangaratta.
I know.
I mean, that's kind of not
see
really
each other,
exciting,
see each
is
other
it?
Coming down the street together.
Yeah. yeah. But they are stopping along the way in town, so doing yep. attending events along the way, checking in with police stations as well. So, you know, it's a great way for the whole Victorian community to get out there and thank the police and to remember what they actually do and what they stand for us.
And, you know, I was at, you know, the launch of this event the other night, and there was a number of speakers, but there was a lady recognised who... an ex-police officer, but that she had basically, as a volunteer, supported ex-officers, you know, with a whole range of services over a long period of time. And, you know, she'd given years and years and years and spent a lot of her money on doing this. And I just thought, well, you know, what an extraordinary thing to do.
Absolutely.
This had become her full-time job,
mm.
and she wasn't getting paid for it.
Yeah.
Would have been pretty harrowing, you know, dealing, you know, with a lot of people that had and have serious mental health issues.
Absolutely.
You know, not in an environment that's designed to cope with it.
Yep.
Yeah. So
yeah.
pretty harrowing for her. But it was actually speaking to a lot of the police there and other people there, you know, David Mann, 3AW, Man About
yeah.
Town.
Why would you maintain that?
I know. You know, and Heidi Murphy from 3AW, who's mm-hmm. co-hosted with us before.
Mm-hmm.
And their understanding, and particularly, you know, because they actually interact with the police a lot in terms of their jobs,
mm-hmm.
that how important this was, that this wasn't just a professional commitment from them, it was a personal commitment.
Absolutely.
You know, to support it.
Yeah, it's a commitment for life, isn't
yeah,
it? It's
yeah.
yeah. No. We need to be more thankful for our emergency services people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you? I reckon you'd make a good cop at town.
You know what? I wouldn't, because I have a short fuse. I know I'd be terrible. People used to say I'd make a good teacher. And when I finished my arts degree, because I've got a degree in theatre and film, I used to write plays and go into schools and direct them. And about the second time, when I had a 16-year-old boy against the wall, just like, you know, really telling him, look, buddy, bit of respect, I realised, no, I can't teach. So I'm not that person. I couldn't do it.
Oh, you could probably work in Border Force then.
Oh, you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to work in the mail room for Border Force.
Yeah, I could see I could see you with the Stanley knife.
Oh, there's something in there and I'm going to find out what it is.
I'm going to find it.
That is what I would like to do.
Yeah, I could see you doing that.
Yeah, I would like to work out what the problems were. I was watching an episode the other week and they had all these whiteboard markers from China and then these kind of, you know, really sort of kidsy little whiteboards, and the whiteboard markers, oh gosh, it was clever. Tell you what, I'm impressed.
Devilish.
I mean, that's beyond smuggling vodka into Chill Out Festival. I'm so impressed. It's not even funny.
Smuggling vodka into Chill Out Festival.
Well, you can't take alcohol to Chill Out anymore.
Oh, why not?
You got to smuggle it in now.
Well,
I've heard.
What, because of the public park?
Well, no, they're trying to make some money. You know, it's understandable.
Oh, yeah.
It costs a lot of money to run Chill Out. And you know, so 2 years ago, they stopped you being able to BYO.
Oh.
So now everybody has to smuggle it in. And, you know, you hear about the creative ways, but this is next level. I love Border
Force.
Whiteboard
markers. What were they smuggling in the whiteboard markers?
That was actually just a bit of dope, actually.
Bit of dope?
Yeah, it was a lot of effort.
Oh, why would you bother? You just go out with, just get some on the street.
Well, if you know how to, Macca, maybe you could.
Just near Hungry Jack's, not a problem.
Near Hungry Jack's, this one.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, CEO and Managing Director of Virgin Australia. You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Macca.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.